last week. This story continues where we picked up from last week. And last week, as we heard those stories, we were challenged to give our fears to Jesus, as we saw Jesus's power and authority both over nature and the stormy stilling of the storm, and over evil spiritual forces in healing the demon-possessed man or men. And today we see Jesus's authority to forgive sin. And remember, the reaction last week to Jesus dealing in the storm was that the disciples were afraid. And when Jesus healed the demon-possessed man, the townspeople were afraid. And today, the reaction of the crowd is the same. The multitudes were afraid, not because the paralyzed man was healed, but because in healing the young man, Jesus proved his authority to forgive sins. Thankfully, they had the right response to that fear. And it says they glorified God, who had given such power to men. As Jesus' authority to forgive sins was being questioned, Jesus asked, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? Sometimes the easier thing to say isn't always the easier thing to do. Now for Jesus, it doesn't matter. They were equally easy for him, because he was fully surrendered to doing the Father's will. And the Holy Spirit's power just flowed right through him. But was more important to Jesus and for this man, though he may not have realized it, was that his sins were forgiven. For us, however, when we think, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to tell somebody to get up and walk, sometimes the easier thing to say isn't always the easier thing to do. So which is easier? To help others or to allow yourself to be helped? Matthew, in this story, he leaves out what Luke and Mark put in about the four friends having to go up to the roof and dig a hole through the roof of the house and lower him down in. Matthew doesn't say that, but it was a lot of work for these four friends to take their friend to Jesus. But their persistence in getting their friend to Jesus is still captured by Matthew as Jesus sees their faith and on the basis of their faith speaks forgiveness to the man lying on the bed. We don't know if the man asked his friends to help him or not, but they believed that Jesus could heal their friend and they wanted their friend to be well. Jesus heals a man because of their faith. And this is not the first healing that Jesus does to somebody else on behalf of the faith of another. You remember the story of the centurion who came to Jesus and said, I've got a servant at home. He's really, really sick. Can you heal him? And Jesus says, okay, I'll go to your house. And he says, don't come to my house. Just say the word, and I know that he'll be healed. And then his other servants came to him, and they told him that at the very hour that Jesus spoke that he would be healed, he was healed. So he had faith, not only in Jesus' ability to heal, but in Jesus' authority. He knew that Jesus could simply command the illness to be gone, and it would be. So we can help others. We pray for other people because there's power in our prayers. And sometimes we're like the man on the mat. Sometimes we need to allow other people to help us. And sometimes we need to be like the friends, taking initiative to help others, even if they don't ask. And we need to be both able to give help and to receive help. Which is easier? Sometimes it's hard to give help. Sometimes it's harder to let others help me. Which is easier? To have faith or to admit that you don't have it? Which is easier, to pray for yourself or to intercede for other people? It isn't always true that a person's illness or disability or condition in life is connected with their sin. We know that there's multiple reasons that that happens. Sometimes it's because of somebody else's sin. Sometimes it's just because of the fallenness of this world. Sometimes it's something that God intentionally does to bring glory to himself through that person's life. or to teach that person something about God and God's power and God's ways. And sometimes it's because God's using that person to teach other people about God's purposes and God's ways. But all of it, all suffering is redeemable, and God has a purpose in it all, and God's going to redeem it and use it for his glory. But in this story, it seems as if the person's disability is connected somehow with his sin. Perhaps in doing something he shouldn't have been doing is how he got himself paralyzed in the first place. But what seems to also be true is that his friends had faith and the man on the bed did not. The man doesn't say anything to Jesus. There's no words spoken here. There's nothing recorded in any of the Gospels that tell the story about the man and his reaction. But his friends had faith for him. And you would think, because Jesus could see the faith of the friends, because Jesus could see into the hearts of the scribes and to think their evil thoughts that they were thinking about him, that if this man had faith, Jesus would have seen it in him too. But Jesus forgives the man because other people cared about him. And this is why the community of faith is so important. Several years ago, in a pastor's group, a Methodist colleague of mine shared about a man that he had called that hadn't been to church for some time. And this man was going through a major period of grief. And he told the pastor that he was having a very hard time praying, and he was having a very hard time having faith, and so he was staying away from church. He felt like if he went to church, he was being a hypocrite, and he didn't even know if he believed anymore. So my colleague used this passage in talking to him, and he told his parishioner that this is precisely why he needs to come back to worship, because it is the body of Christ who can have faith for you when yours is gone. He told the man to allow the community of faith to have faith for him and to allow them to believe on his behalf. So this clicked with this person, and he returned to church. And in seeing the faith of his faith community, his friends that he had known for years, and hearing the testimonies that they had, to hear prayers answered, to hear the preaching of the word, his weakened faith was strengthened and regained. He was healed as others had faith for him. A couple of weeks ago, we got to baptize little Macy. And in that service, we promised to pray for her and to teach her about Jesus. And she entered this covenant community. And you are called to have faith for her, as well as any other member of this community, when they don't have it for themselves. And those of you who are struggling in your own faith need to allow the community of faith to be your strength when you are weak. Don't give up on them, and don't give up on God. And you may have to go through the motions for a while. You may have to force yourself to come to worship. And it can be a real struggle to reach out and ask for help. But let others have faith for you, and you will see your faith restored. Which is easier, to have faith or to admit that you have doubts? And now we come to the question that Jesus himself asked. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? From our perspective, it's certainly easier to say your sins are forgiven. But the scribes in the crowd knew that only God has the authority to forgive sins and charged Jesus with blasphemy in their hearts. They didn't dare say it aloud, but Jesus could hear it plain as day. It may be easy to say your sins are forgiven, but it's not always easy to do, precisely because true forgiveness is only the work of God. How often do we say, I forgive you, but we don't really mean it? Or how many of you have really struggled to forgive someone? Jesus had the authority to forgive sins because the Father had given it to him. But Jesus has also given us the authority to forgive. We know that he has done this because he commands us to forgive our enemies. One of my favorite podcasts is Voice of the Martyrs Radio. And a couple of weeks ago, I re-listened to Helena Verhaeghe's share about her time at a prison camp in Eritrea. She was tortured horribly, but in her interview, she repeated over and over her forgiveness towards her enemy and her love and compassion for them, the president of Eritrea, and her country, even as she is living as a refugee elsewhere. This forgiveness is absolutely a work of the Holy Spirit. It's sincere, and the Holy Spirit is working through her life. The scribes understood Jesus was claiming divinity and claiming that he had the authority to forgive sins. Understand that no one could know whether or not the man had truly been forgiven. You can't see. You can see somebody get up and walk, but you can't see inside somebody's hearts to know if they're really forgiven or not. But Jesus shows them that he is forgiven in healing them. He doesn't deny the assumption of the scribes that he is divine. Rather, he uses the healing to show that indeed the man's sins had been forgiven and that he has the authority to declare it. But notice the last verse, verse 8. Now, when the multitudes saw, they were afraid. It doesn't say, remember we talked about marveled and fear last week. They were afraid and gave glory to God who had given such power to men. Not to the man, not to Jesus, but to men. That's important. The power is given by God, not just to Jesus, but to people. The very first time I took Presbyterian Reformed Ministries International, PRMI, probably an acronym that you will hear more than once over the coming years, their course, Gateways to Empowered Ministry, I struggled with this point because I always thought that when Jesus acts in the manner of forgiving somebody's sin, that he's acting out of his divine nature rather than from his human nature. But in a more careful study of the scriptures, it shows that Jesus is acting under God's authority through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's not Jesus acting out of his own will. In fact, Jesus doesn't ever act out of his own will. He says over and over again, I do what my Father has told me to do. He's fully surrendered to doing the Father's will. And he allows the Holy Spirit to flow through him. It's probably easier for Jesus because he doesn't have a sin nature. But after the resurrection, Jesus sends us out in that same authority. He says, now all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I send you out. He gives us the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit power that he used has been given to us. So week after week, I can stand here and say to you after the confession of sins, your sins are forgiven, not because I forgive you, but because I have the authority that God has given me to declare that because God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. And there's the forgiving work of the Holy Spirit that God gives to us, that supernatural ability to forgive people who have hurt us terribly. Like Helene Verhaeghe, who sang worship songs inside of a shipping container in the desert after having been beaten. Or like Andrew Brunson, who can write a song from prison like You Are Worthy of My All. It certainly may be easier to say, I forgive you, and a dramatic healing may be more impressive in our eyes. But in this case, Jesus forgives first and heals second. Even though this group of friends probably didn't come to Jesus seeking forgiveness for their friend's sins, forgiveness was the real need. It was because of their faith that Jesus forgives the man, not the healing. The reason that Jesus heals is because of the skepticism of the scribes. Now, I'm sure the man and his friends were thrilled when Jesus healed him, but that wasn't the most important gift he was given that day. The man's body would ultimately be healed in the resurrection, but without the forgiveness of sins, the man would be resurrected to eternal death, not to eternal life. He would miss out on that ultimate healing. Sometimes for us, the things we ask for in faith are not the things that Jesus grants us, because there are other needs in that person's life or in our life or in that whatever situation it is that are greater. If we entrust people to the Lord in prayer, we can trust that the Lord's answers to our prayers will be the right ones, even if they're not exactly the things that we ask for. We pray in faith for what is good and best, and we try to make our requests as specific as possible as we discern what the Holy Spirit asks for us. And I know that sometimes people throw out a general kind of pray for me type request. They don't want to share details, and they don't need to, and they might not even know. But in those cases, I try to ask if they're able to give a little bit of guidance without that detail so that I can pray specifically, such as, do you need prayer for wisdom or for healing or for provision or for discernment or for truth or deliverance or justice or reconciliation or peace or protection? Just those words, if we can add one or more of those words with it, then we can begin to align our wills with the will of the Holy Spirit in prayer. Answers to the questions, which is easier, are going to be different for each of us. But what Jesus wants us to remember is that, first and foremost, it's all easy peasy for him. All authority and power has been given to Jesus, and there's nothing too difficult for Jesus. We're also called to follow him when it seems easy and when it seems hard. And we might be surprised that the easy things seem hard to us and the hard things seem pretty easy. But in all situations, we have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to be successful. That same Holy Spirit that Jesus had and put within us. So instead of asking which is easier, we need to ask, what's more important to you, Jesus? Does one have eternal consequences and one only temporal? Then the eternal things matter more. Does one directly impact loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves? Does one bring more glory to God, or will it give me attention? We need to do what gives glory and attention to God. And if both need to be done, sometimes it's hard to figure out which needs to be done first, and so we have to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and tell God that we want to do what is most important to the Lord. God promises to give us wisdom if we ask for it. And trust in the authority and the power of Jesus in all things. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. We thank you that there's nothing too hard for God, that everything is easy. Lord, it's different from our perspective. We think things are easy that are hard and hard that are easy. And sometimes we get confused about what it is that you want us to do. But help us to align our wills with your wills, with your will. Lord, help us to be ready to help our friends and our neighbors in need, even if they don't ask for it, to see a need and step in, giving them the grace to be able to receive help. And Lord, help us not to push people away when they try to offer us help, but be willing to receive the help that is offered. Lord, give us the power of intercessory prayer to pray for needs, both physical and spiritual, for our friends, our neighbors, and even our enemies. And Lord, help us to reach out to the community of faith when we have doubts and we're not sure where we are in our relationship with you. But help us to be reminded that we are still part of the body of Christ and we are still needed. Lord, we thank you that you care for us, and we thank you that you have power over all things, over nature, over evil forces, and over our sinful state. We thank you for your forgiveness that you offer with no limits. In your name we pray. Amen.